Where else would Daniel Barenboim, the maestro, former child prodigy pianist, who at the apex of his long and distinguished musical career is now the chief conductor of La Scala, choose to stay when he's in Milan? Of course, the Hotel de Milan, the staid and slightly stuffy 19th century five-star hotel in the Via Manzoni, 5 minutes' walk from La Scala. The hotel became the town home of Giuseppe Verdi for the last 20 years of his life. Verdi, hero-worshipped for his unforgettable arias by his fellow Italians, actually died in his suite at the hotel in 1901. Hotel staff laid straw on the cobblestones below his window to prevent the maestro's rest being disturbed by the clatter of carriages as he lay dying. Anyone who counts in the musical world in Milan has always stayed at this hotel. The concierge reeled off to me the famous guests of the past, after Verdi, the great Italian tenor Enrico Caruso, and of course Maria Callas were guests. I met Barenboim at his hotel and walked with him to the theatre on the day of the dress rehearsal. He told me he was delighted to have chosen and nurtured his new English Tristan. He and Ian Story, the tenor from County Durham, who's singing the lead role in the Wagner opera, have been working closely together on the music for the past 7 months. Barenboim said Story's German diction was perfect, although he doesn't actually speak the language. The days when only Germans were considered capable of interpreting German music and Italians of Italian music have long since passed, the maestro said. We take it for granted now that people from India and China are capable of penetrating European culture. There are national characteristics in music, but it's not only the citizens of that country who have the ability or the right to interpret it. That would be a dangerous path to follow. As we passed through the labyrinth of corridors and rehearsal rooms of the newly refurbished La Scala, I remembered that the opera house, originally built at the end of the 18th century and twice in its history gutted by fire, had recently been closed for 3 years while the entire stage complex was rebuilt to modern standards. Around a stage that looks the size of a football pitch, huge new mechanical hoists can shift tons of scenery above and underground by simply pressing a button. The dress rehearsal for the five-hour Wagner epic was attended by an audience made up mainly of friends and relatives of the 800 permanent employees of the Opera House. There had been rumblings of discontent among members of the 135-strong orchestra. They weren't getting enough money. They threatened to disrupt the opening night with a strike. While the passionate drama of the first act unfolded on stage, with Tristan and Isolde downing their love potions, union representatives called a meeting with the harassed-looking general administrator during the first interval. Two concert performances had to be cancelled last month due to management union squabbles. News now came that one of La Scala's main sponsors, a well-known Milanese industrialist, had decided to suspend his $3 million a year subsidy to the theatre. Another frenetic management meeting took place during the second interval. The strike was averted by payment of a bonus. But some members of the orchestra were still dissatisfied that their skills are not being sufficiently recognised by getting a larger bonus than the stagehands and the sempstresses. The opera business is just like any other form of show business, volatile and unpredictable. But the passion of Italians for opera, which after all they invented, remains undiminished. As Gioachino Rossini once famously boasted, "Give me a laundry list, and I'll set it to music."